morning, everybody. So we were talking about the Day of Atonement in our Bible class, and that's when I realized, because I was thinking, what's the next holiday coming up? That's when I realized today is St. Patrick's Day, and I didn't realize that, so I didn't wear any green, and I've already been pinched. So I don't know if that means that I only get pinched once, so now I'm exempt, or now I've told you all, so I'm going to get 1,000 pinches. Yeah, exactly. Hopefully not. And this morning we're continuing our series called From the Mouth of the Messiah, looking at the things that Jesus says in the Gospel of Matthew. And so let's turn to Matthew 13. This is quite a long speech from Jesus. I'm not going to cover it all, but I will read quite a bit of it. So let me just give you a little bit of the structure so maybe it's easier to follow. Okay, he's going to tell, in the section I'm going to read, he tells two parables. He tells the parables, then there's the purpose of why he tells parables, and then he explains the parable. And he does that twice. So hopefully that helps as we listen. We're going to start in chapter 13, verse 1. So it's Matthew 13, 1, and I'll stop at verse 43. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on the rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil, but when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Anyone with ears to hear, let them hear." Then the disciples came and asked him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He answered, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. The reason I speak to them in parables is that seeing they do not perceive, and hearing they do not listen, nor do they understand. With them indeed is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah that says, 'You will indeed listen, but never understand. You will indeed look, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes so that they might not look with their eyes and listen with their ears and turn with their heart, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while, and when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from? He answered, an enemy has done this. The slave said to him, then do you want us to go and gather them? But he replied, no, for in gathering the weeds you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time I will tell the reapers, collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now verse 34. Jesus told the crowds all these things in parables. Without a parable, he told them nothing. This was to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth to speak in parables. I will proclaim what has been hidden from the foundation of the world. Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples approached him, saying, explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. He answered, the one who sows the seed, the good seed, is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Anyone with ears to hear, let them hear. Let's bow together. Father, we come before you today as individual disciples and as a family to offer ourselves to you in worship. We want to worship none other but you alone. We pray that you would give us ears that hear your message, that you would give us mouths to sing your praise, minds and hearts that are engaged in true worship. And Father, help us to see and perceive the presence of your Holy Spirit among us. Make yourself evident to us as we make our faith and our dedication evident to one another and to a watching world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Anyone with ears to hear, let them hear these words that come from the mouth of the Messiah. Anyone with skin to feel that warm breeze coming off the Sea of Galilee. Anyone with a nose to smell, you smell the salt sea air and the fish and the fishermen's nets. Anyone with eyes to see Jesus surrounded by so many crowds wanting to hear him and touch him to be healed, that he has to get into a boat and push out from the beach so that he can speak to all of us in the crowd. This is the third speech that Matthew records for us that comes straight from Jesus' mouth. And it starts by setting the scene, just like that. There was way too many people around, but Jesus wanted to be heard by all. And so he got into a boat so that he might be able to teach them. But even though he wanted to be heard by all, he wasn't exactly going to be heard by all. Now, as you look at what Jesus says as recorded in Matthew 13, the thing that you'll find in common is that there are seven parables here, six of which actually start with the phrase, the kingdom of heaven is like. So all these parables are about the kingdom of heaven. And I want to show you on the slide here sort of an outline of how this chapter works out so that you can see really Jesus' own approach to teaching these parables. Now, some of the things that he says in public to all the crowds. And some of the things he only says in private to his disciples. About half the chapter, he's in this boat speaking to the crowds. And then at verse 36, it says he left the crowds and he went back into the house. And so there's this combination of Jesus speaking to everyone, all the crowds, and then sometimes only to his closest disciples. And so in public, he tells the parable of the sower. That's how he begins. Then his disciples come to him in private, ask him why he uses parables. He tells them his purpose, and then he explains what the meaning of the parable is just to them. Then he addresses the crowd again and gives them three more parables. Parable of the weeds, the mustard seed, and the yeast. Then, as he goes, Matthew actually at this point gives us the purpose of why Jesus uses parables. And then, as they go into the house, his disciples ask again for the explanation. And Jesus explains it to them and then tells three more parables. And then closes. At verse 53... So it's not exactly the end of the chapter, but at verse 53, it says, when Jesus had finished these parables, he left that place. And that's Matthew's indication that this is one of the speeches of Jesus. If you go back and look at the end of the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 7, it said, after Jesus had said these things, then at the end of chapter 10, which we looked at last week, after Jesus had finished saying these things, and here, after Jesus had finished saying, and that happens at the end of each of the five speeches in Matthew. But I'm not going to take the time to go through all seven of these parables. Just look at the two that I read earlier in the service. And they're the two, they're the longest, but they're the ones that Jesus explains as well. And so that's the parable of the sower and the parable of the weeds. And there's a lot of connections between what he says in these two parables and what he's already said in previous speeches and what he's going to say in future speeches, but we haven't covered those yet. But I want to point out a couple of things. The parable of the sower seems to be specifically about receptivity, you know, being receptive to the message of the kingdom of heaven, to be receptive to God having reign over us. And the parable of the weeds seems to be mostly about a coming judgment in the kingdom of heaven. And these two themes have come up before. Remember back at the end of the Sermon on the Mount again, where Jesus said, those who hear my words and do them are like a man who built on rock. Those who hear my words and do not do them are like those who built on sand, the man who built on sand. And so he's talking there about who's going to be receptive to my message and respond to it with action. And in that same section, he talks also about judgment when he says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, to me will enter the kingdom of heaven. But for some, as Jesus sits to judge, he's going to say to some, depart from me, I never knew you. You see receptivity and judgment. Then in the next speech in chapter 10, Jesus says he's sending his disciples out into the cities in front of him. And he says, whoever welcomes you welcomes me and welcomes the one who sent me. Receptivity to the message that they're going to bring on Jesus' behalf. But he also says there, when you go into a city, find a house that's worthy and stay there and bring your peace upon it. But if a house is not worthy, if they are not receptive to what you have to say, are not receptive to you, then leave the house and shake the dust off your feet as you leave that house or that town. And he says, on the day of judgment, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for that city. Receptivity to the message and a judgment that's coming. Now, that's what these two parables are about. So let's look at them in a bit more detail. The parable of the sower starts at verse 3. He told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil." This is the images of a thin layer of topsoil over a solid rock. So they can't grow much of a root. And so when the sun rose, they were scorched. Since they had no root, they withered. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and so the thorns grew up, and they choked out that seed. And only one type of soil accepted the seed. And that was the good soil. It says, the seeds that fell on good soil brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Anyone with ears to hear, let them hear. Right? So he's inviting the crowd to listen to what he's saying and actually gain the meaning of it. So in telling, the content of the parable is the same as the telling of the parable. He's talking about being receptive to the message, and he's telling them at the same time, be receptive to this message that I'm giving you. To be good soil that will listen to this parable and gain the meaning. Now, later when he tells the disciples in private what this parable means, he says the seed that falls on the path are those who hear the word of the kingdom, but they do not understand it. And so in that case, he says it's the enemy, it's the evil one who's come and snatched up the word from that person. And then they hear it, but they don't really hear it. The seed that falls on rock, he says, is those who receive the word with joy, but when trouble comes or persecution comes, when things get hard, it's not so easy to be a Christian, that person falls away. They wither under the pressure. The seed that falls on the thorny soil, again, receives the word, but is completely unproductive, unfruitful, because the cares of this world and the deception of wealth choke out the productivity of that seed. And he says that the good soil is the one who hears and understands and bears fruit. So, with the explanation, it's pretty clear. But without the explanation, I can see why they were scratching their heads wondering, what in the world, why is Jesus talking about agriculture? That doesn't seem important. This is a healer, this is a teacher. What is he getting at? And even his own disciples come to him in between the giving of the parable and the explanation, and they ask him, this is verse 10, why do you speak to them in parables? And so Jesus then tells them his purpose. Why use a parable? Now, parable is clearly similar to the word parallel, and that is the idea. It's something that is made an analogy. It's a comparison between two things. Why would Jesus do that? Almost in a sense, they feel like he's not being straightforward with his teaching. Well, this is what he says. To you, to my own disciples, it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. The original word is the mysteries. The mysteries of the kingdom have been revealed to you, but to them it has not been given. And so then he says, the reason that I speak to them as parables is that seeing they do not perceive, and hearing they do not listen, nor do they understand. Now, Jesus understands himself as fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah, which he'll quote here in a moment. But see, he points out that most of these people in the crowd are in one of those first categories. They're going to hear but not understand. Some of them seem to like what Jesus has to say, and they'll follow him for a while as long as he's healing them and giving them bread and things like that. They'll follow after him. And so this is exactly what he's saying. Most of these people are, when Jesus is preaching the word, that seed is falling on the hard-packed ground or the rocky ground or the thorny ground. But Jesus then quotes from Isaiah, verse 14 and 15, "With them indeed is fulfilled the prophecy, you will indeed listen but never understand, and you will indeed look but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes so that they might not look with their eyes and listen with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal him." I would heal them. This is an intentional act. La, 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 la. I don't want to hear what you have to say. Close your eyes. And even, he says, they will not let their heart be touched by it. And so it's an act of will. Now, if you go back and look this passage up in Isaiah 6, it's a pretty famous passage. What happens at the beginning of chapter 6 in Isaiah is that Isaiah sees the Lord in the temple, seated on a throne, and the hem of his robe fills the temple. You remember this story? He realizes that in the sight of this holy God, with the seraphs crying, "Holy, holy, holy," that he himself is a man of unclean lips. And then a seraph brings a hot coal and touches his lips to purify Isaiah. This is Isaiah, God calling him to be a prophet. And the very next thing after that, God says, "Who will we send? Who will go for us?" And Isaiah volunteers, "Here am I, and send me." But he does not know what he's volunteering for yet. Because the next thing he asks God is, "What am I supposed to say, and how long do I have to say it?" And God tells Isaiah, "You're going to go out there and you're going to tell them what they do not want to hear. That judgment is coming because the people have been sinful. Babylon's going to come and destroy the nation and take the people into exile. How long am I supposed to preach this message?" He said, "Until the land lies desolate. All the trees are stumps. All the people are gone." Okay, so Isaiah volunteered for that without knowing what the assignment was going to be. But Jesus knows. He says, "I'm fulfilling in my ministry the same thing Isaiah was doing." But he knows full well what he's getting himself into. That he's going to preach a message that is true and from God, but most people do not want to hear it. Most people will reject it. And the reason that most people will reject it is because he's talking about the kingdom of heaven. Now, kingdom of heaven sounds like a bright, happy place. That sounds like a great idea. Why wouldn't people like the idea of the kingdom of heaven? It's because what he's saying in the phrase kingdom of heaven is God, who sits on his throne in heaven, is king. God is the one who gets to call the shots. God is the one who makes commandments. And those who are citizens of his kingdom obey his commandments. And this is the message Jesus is bringing. Very often in all these speeches in Matthew, he's talking about the kingdom of heaven, and he's saying in all these parables, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. In other words, this is what it's like when God's on the throne and God is at work and you bow your knee to Him. Now go back and look at these parables, all of them, and see how they strike you with that idea in mind. So what He tells His own disciples, He says, your ears truly hear, and you've been given to know the secrets of the kingdom. And so He blesses them for having eyes that truly see, for having ears that truly hear, and clearly hearts that are receptive to what Jesus has to say. They're willing to lay down their nets and follow after Jesus, for example. They're willing to let God be the one who calls the shots in their lives. Now let's look at the second parable. And that's the parable of the weeds, speaking about the judgment of the kingdom. And there's more than one of the parables that really teach this. But here, it's another part of Jesus' teaching that people don't want to hear. It's a part, honestly, it's a part of Jesus' teaching that preachers don't want to say. But He says a judgment is coming. This is part of the message of the kingdom. He put before them another parable, verse 24. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. Now then, the servants find the fact that the weeds are growing out in the field among the wheat, and they ask the master, should we go pull all the weeds? He says, no, don't pull the weeds because you might uproot the wheat when you do that. Instead, wait till harvest and I'll take care of it. I will send reapers who will judge correctly, who will separate the wheat from the weeds, and the weeds will be thrown into the fire, just gathered into bundles and burned. But the wheat is gathered into my barn. Now, again, it's a bit later, in private, back in the house, when Jesus explains the parable to His disciples. And He begins by saying the sower, the one who sows the good seed, is the Son of Man. He's talking about Himself. Jesus almost always refers to Himself as the Son of Man. The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. And He says, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, while the weeds are the children of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed the other seed is the devil. So you have two sowers. One is the Son of Man, one is Jesus, and one is the devil. But you notice here, comparing these two parables to one another gave me a little insight. I always thought of the seed as the message itself. And I think there's still something to be said for that. But what He says in this parable is the seed are my children, the people. And so I see even a greater connection with what was happening in Matthew 10 when Jesus sent out His people. Jesus sent out His children. And they're bringing the word, and so it's also about receptivity to the message. But it just puts flesh on it, I guess. Because these are real people. Some serving the true king, and some serving the false one. And He says, the harvest is the end of the age. That's when Christ returns as king. The kingdom is consummated at that point. Sometimes it's called the day of the Lord. When Christ returns, this is the end of the age, and He says that that time will be like a harvest. The angels are the reapers. And so the Son of Man sends out His angels, and they collect out of the kingdom. In other words, they pull the weeds out, the causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So they come to a terrible end. But in verse 43, then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Now, why should we believe any of this? Why should we believe that that's coming? Can I predict the future, tell you what's going to happen? No, absolutely not. But I believe Jesus can. I believe Jesus knows what's coming. We believe he's the one who came from heaven to bring a message from God and return to heaven. And so if we can believe all these other things about Jesus, we ought to also believe him, that this judgment is coming. And some will end in the furnace of fire, while some end in the kingdom of their Father, he says here. And you notice that these are the people who have already made God their king. They've been receptive to that message. And so that's why they are children of the Father. Now, in between the telling of the parable and the giving of the explanation, Matthew now gives us the purpose, again, of why Jesus uses parables. So look at verse 34 and 35. Jesus told the crowds all these things in parables. Without a parable, he told them nothing. Now, from this point on in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus doesn't talk to the crowds unless he's telling a parable. Okay? The teachings, the straightforward teachings, he's telling his disciples. Now, in all five of these speeches, the disciples have been the main audience, but sometimes there's a crowd overhearing what he has to say. The Sermon on the Mount is in front of a bunch of people, this whole crowd, and I think they hear the whole thing, while his disciples are closest to him and are the primary audience. Well, in Matthew 10, he was just talking to his disciples about, I'm going to send you out like sheep among wolves. And here it's almost a back and forth, but what he says in public to the crowds is quite mysterious. And he understands they're not all going to hear it. But Matthew tells us, and remember how many times Matthew connects Jesus' life with fulfilled prophecy. Most of that is in chapters 1 and 2, when Jesus is born or when he's a child. But here is another one of those, verse 35. This was to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet. And here's the word. I will open my mouth to speak in parables, and I will proclaim what has been hidden from the foundation of the world. And so Jesus sees himself as fulfilling the prophets. Again, we already saw that not only is he fulfilling the content of it, but he's living it out himself. He himself is like one of the prophets of old, who undergoes persecution and people don't want to hear what he has to say, but he's got a message from God to give people. But he says, I speak in parables to proclaim what has been hidden from the foundation of the world. And so you've got both of these concepts of something hidden and something proclaimed. And this is what parables are. For those who are willing to hear, they have their ears open, they have their hearts open to this message, it becomes a very clear teaching. But for those who don't want to hear it, it remains hidden. Now, what is it that has been hidden from the foundation of the world? And I believe it's, what is God going to do with the problem that we've gotten ourselves into? go all the way back to Genesis. And we've earned for ourselves by rebelling against him as king. Now we have sin in our life, which ruins everything. And we have death coming to each of us, and a judgment coming. And what has been hidden from people is, what's God going to do about that? How is God going to take care of this problem that we've gotten ourselves into? I think that's the main point. This message has not been understood by most, and he calls it hidden. Now, he actually tells the disciples back in verse 17, "Truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see. And they longed to hear what you hear, but they did not see it." They did not hear it. See, it's been hidden, even to God's own prophets and righteous people. They didn't quite see what God was going to do about it, even though at the time they spoke the truth of God's word in their own situation. But he said what they really wanted, what they really wanted was to be in your shoes. What they really wanted is to be where we are on this side of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. Because that's what God was going to do about this problem that we've gotten ourselves into. That Jesus himself, as the Son of Man, is going to come and establish this kingship relationship between God and his people. He brings the kingdom of heaven. So as Jesus comes, he says, "The kingdom of heaven has come near." Then as he sends out his people, they're able to say, "The kingdom of heaven has come near." And he says in one of these other parables, that it's, or two of these other parables, that it's like a small seed that grows into a huge tree, or it's like a small amount of yeast that grows, that penetrates the entire batch of dough. It's something that's hidden, but it's gaining ground. It's being proclaimed. I actually do think that the best metaphor is that of the seed, because think of the seed. It's got all the potential in the world, but in order for it to gain any ground, it has to be hidden in the ground. It has to be planted. Elsewhere, in the New Testament, Jesus says that seed has to die. It has to give up its life and be buried. And this is exactly what Jesus himself did. You see this connection between Jesus himself and the seed? That he would give his life and be buried in a tomb. But on the third day, he would rise again. And this is the message now. This message of hope. This message of life. This message that if you're in him, there is a way out of the problem. This message that if you're in him, when you come to the judgment, it's going to turn out great for you. That in him, sin can be taken out of your life. That in him, you too can overcome death. And this has been hidden from the foundation of the world, but has now been proclaimed. And so anyone who has a heart, open it to this message. Anyone who has ears to hear, let them hear these words that have come from the mouth of the Messiah. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you now for your word, which reveals your love, reveals your grace, reveals your rescue plan to send your own son to come and be crucified and resurrected, both on our behalf. And God, we can see why this is a hard teaching. We can see why the world rebels against it. All of us have tried to rebel against it ourselves. we understand why there's resistance. And it's because we are proud and rebellious people. We like to close our eyes to the truth. We like to shut our ears to your word. Because we're pretending that that makes us gods, that we now get to sit on the throne. But it's false. We want to recognize, God, that you are the one seated on the throne, so that the kingdom of heaven, which is going to endure, the only thing that's going to endure after the judgment, that kingdom can start now as we bow our knee to Jesus Christ, our King. If there's anybody here, God, who is hearing this message, maybe for the first time or maybe just in a fresh way, and they understand that they need to respond, they need to open up their hearts and ears and eyes to Jesus himself and to be found in him, I pray that you'd give them the strength to say that to themselves, to proclaim what they've been trying to hide, the fact that Jesus is Lord. And Father, would you just build us all up as a family? We want to be children of the kingdom, children of our Father, going out with this message to call more and more in to this great harvest to be in your presence forever. And we pray it all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.